welcome to the President's Perspective. It's the September edition, a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. Welcome, Dr. Jones.
Hello, Jared.
Topics on this show in recent history have included record enrollment, new faculty and staff faces on campus, and of course, campus beautification projects. Today, we'll hint towards some of those with notes on the campus master plan, and later we'll talk about the English Language Institute homestay program. But we're heading in a different direction to start with, and that is our partnerships with the surrounding communities.
Right, Jared. You know, A&M Commerce has been in one location for a long, long time, and we have sort of grown up with the city of Commerce. So we have a lot of connections of all kinds. You know, obviously, we have people who live here whose spouses work in the surrounding area. And so there's the connections between the city and the university community are deep and extensive. I know when I travel, a lot of times people ask me, you know, what about the town-gown relationship and the town-gown divide?
Right.
And I said, you know, we really don't have one. I mean, we're just kind of an extension of one another. However, there are some specific things that we're doing to partner with the city that I think are pretty neat and certainly worth talking about. And I have a couple of guests here I'd like to introduce. These are some folks who have been at the university for a long time. Alicia Curran, who's the Associate Vice President for Business Administration, and Rex Giddens, who is Assistant Vice President for Business. He's done pretty much everything during the course of his career. 40 years?
Almost 40.
Almost 40 years. Wow. So if there's something you want to know about A&M Commerce, Rex is the guy to ask. They both are involved in some of the projects that we either have worked with the city on or are currently working with the city on. So I kind of wanted to get some of their insights as well. Rex, can you kind of kick us off? What's going on with street improvements right now?
Basically, the university is trying to partner with the city on several improvement projects around the campus. One of them will be Lee Street from Bordock to Monroe, and another area will be Stonewall Street from Bryan to Monroe. There is a second phase to the project, and that will address West Neal from Cooper to Culver, but right now we're just trying to get the first phase of it started.
Mm-hmm. And these are streets that are right adjacent to campus. Not everyone understands that the university actually owns only a couple of streets.
That's correct, sir. We have the main entrance to campus, and then
right.
We have the east entrance to campus, and those are basically the only streets that we have.
Right.
Several people have come to me and expressed concern about the streets in those areas, and we also have looked at Neal Street several mm-hmm. times because it is one of the main arteries into campus.
Right. So we're a state agency, obviously, and the City of Commerce is a municipality. Those are legal, you know, jurisdictions, and they present some interesting challenges, I guess, in terms of partnering.
That's correct. We have other partnerships that we have worked out with municipalities and City of Commerce. For instance, one of the fire trucks was mm-hmm. One of our projects that we worked with the city on. We helped them purchase a ladder truck and paid approximately a third of the cost of that. And the reason for that is that we are one of the areas that the city has to protect for fire.
Right. And we have the only high-rise building really in Hunt County.
I think in the Tri-County area, yeah.
Yes, sir. Basically, we have nearly all of the buildings that are four stories or above.
Yeah.
And the ladder truck allows us to have an alternate escape route in case of fire for some of our larger buildings.
Right. And it's a beautiful truck. I'm sure our listeners have seen it around town. It's the Quint.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
if you haven't seen it answer on a fire, you've seen it in a parade.
That's correct.
So, but anyway, the street project will be a partnership with the city, and it should provide some improved access both to campus and to the neighboring community. Surrounding neighborhoods.
Yes, sir.
What are some of the other things we've done? And Alicia, feel free to hop in here, too. What are some of the projects that you've worked on between the city and the university?
In the past few years, we partnered with the city to install the tornado warning sirens across campus and the community. As Rex mentioned, the fire department ladder truck. We work with the Public Works Division on various projects. We worked with the city on agreements with the installation of the crosswalks on mm-hmm. Highway 50 and Culver Street.
Right.
We had to have the City of Commerce supply a waiver for us to take to TxDOT to make that happen, and we did that. You know, we work on all kinds of community community initiatives. A lot of our athletic teams, our Greek organizations, student organizations participate in events at the city. For example, the Boat Art Bash. We have at least three sororities and one fraternity that are going to be attending and volunteering and working at that,
right,
which would have already passed as we're recording this.
That's right.
Yeah.
But just things
little,
like that.
Radio curtain being thrown back there.
Yeah.
No, that's and there's another thing related to the bash this year that was a first-time deal, right?
That's right. We provided a bus to bus students to attend the bash in support of the bash.
Right.
So that was a great event.
And also our students, in addition to what they did at the bash, are involved in the big event every year.
Right.
Our athletic teams are out doing various projects. I was, quick little side story, I was out jogging last spring during the big event. It was on a Saturday. And I happened to be coming back after my jog and going out to the edge of the driveway to pick up the newspaper. Well, the basketball team just happened to be going by then picking up trash. Hey, Dr. Jones, how you doing? Felt a little guilty, actually.
Sure, yeah. We're working to do things. What do you got going on?
Yeah, right.
We also have a lot of employees participating.
Yes.
And our facilities group is very active in the big event also. So.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of good things going on. We have property leasing arrangements.
Yes, sir.
With Commerce ISD, for example.
A lot of things that probably is not well known is that the university made an agreement with the Commerce ISD several years ago to lease property for the Commerce High School.
Right.
And we leased land to them for the Commerce High School at a very reasonable rate.
Right.
And we've also made other options available for bringing businesses to Commerce and helping in that area. Walmart was one of the areas that we first worked with and managed to sell some land to Walmart for the new superstore that they put into Commerce. We also have property located adjacent to Walmart, which is a Lone Star Eatery.
Mm-hmm.
And Lone Star Eatery leases the property from us and has put in a very nice facility that serves the community as well as our students. We have agreement with Holiday Inn Express, and they lease property from us, and they've provided us with a nice motel for our guests and visitors that come to the university.
Right.
We are currently working on a large sale, 7.3 acres of land, to Armstrong Development out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. That is will be located or is located next to the university high-rise, and it will be a development that will bring, hopefully, several options to the university students and as well as the community. We hope that there will be a pharmacy, a retail store, fast food restaurant.
Like a little convenience store or something like that.
Convenience store, and possibly a sit-down restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
The sale to Armstrong Development is pending a 90-day discovery clause that they'll be able to look for encroachments or any problems with the facilities that serve it or the utilities that serve it. And hopefully by the 1st of November, we'll know for sure if that property has been sold.
Well, and we had talked some about that on a previous program, and that's if that all comes together, and it's in the process of coming together now, it'll be a very nice addition to the community, an addition to the Commerce tax base.
Right.
And it's just a place for students to work, to go. It's just kind of a win-win-win.
And I think it's neat, too, because we're kind of uncovering ways that the university kind of has a presence even in places where you wouldn't think that. I mean, the community doesn't realize that they're maybe on university property or whatever it happens to be. And I know that that's sort of a very physical way to look at it, but we're in a very physical way sort of interwoven in the community.
Absolutely.
Not only in Commerce, but in other places as well. And so there are a lot of neat things to be discovered when we have a discussion like this.
Well, the university really takes seriously its role as a good citizen. You know, we're very different than a campus, say, in the middle of a major metropolitan area.
Right.
I mean, we really have a responsibility to reach out into the community and to use our resources in collaborative and cooperative ways to improve the quality of life for everyone.
Sure.
As you know, as the university grows, there's lots of changes to the university itself, and we have a building that was being underutilized at one point in time that we leased to the Northeast Texas Children's Museum.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes to show that we are providing additional services and helping the community to have a resource there that they would not possibly have had or might not have had.
Right.
That we're able to help them with.
Exactly. And that's something that I think you're right. It's it was too expensive of a venture for a community organization to take on in terms of building a facility. And it, as luck would have it, we had one available. So it's turned into a nice partnership. You know, this leads us, Jared, to a consideration of something else that's going on campus. It's related to this, and that is facilities master planning, campus master planning.
This stuff doesn't just happen then, is
no,
that?
No, you really, I mean, some of these are targets of opportunity. You know, you got to be able to spot opportunity when it comes along. But we're really at the point in our development as a university where we need to re-engage ourselves in the whole campus master planning process. I think, well, Rex and Lisa were both here when we did the last one. That was about 8 years ago. Is that right?
Yes, sir. I believe that's correct.
And I've seen the plan. It was a thoughtful plan, but some of the assumptions proved out and some of them didn't. You know, we've kind of gone in different directions. I think the growth has been more robust than perhaps had been initially foreseen. We have more students living on campus than we had foreseen 8 years ago. And it's time to engage the process.
That's right. High time to kind of go back to the drawing board, as it were. I mean, that doesn't mean that the things that are here aren't going to stay. It's just, you know, we're going to kind of have new ways to use everything that we've got.
Right. And this is a fun process, you know, because we're talking about what do we want to be 5 years, 10 years, you know, 20 years from now? What direction do we want our campus to go? And we talk about facilities master planning. Yeah, it's, you know, there's some where do you want the parking lots to go and where do you want the sidewalks to go and what's the next new building? And those are important questions. I mean, I don't want to diminish the importance of any of that stuff, but what's our vision? What do we want the campus to feel like? How many students do we want to have living on campus, and what kinds of services and amenities are they going to need? And those are great questions to ask. And I don't know, Rex and Alicia, if you've been involved in this process before, what does it entail when you go through a campus master planning exercise?
Well, the master plan gives you a guideline to go by, and it gives you some direction of areas that we can plan and we can look to the future, because if we do want to build a new building, we have to make sure that we have the adequate space, and we have to make those plans well in advance of us ever putting in to build a building.
Yeah.
If sometimes our direction is not always the best, we realize that we created some problems by putting some of our residence halls across Highway 50.
Right.
And in the future, we'll look to do our expansion on the eastern side of Highway 50, which will give us our students a safer access to campus. And we'll be able to plan in the future to purchase land in that area as it becomes available, whereas we have not ever taken any property by eminent domain, and we don't plan on it. So
prefer not to.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we would like to plan with the community in doing that, and that helps us with the master plan, guides us in that aspect.
Right. And you're right about the residence facilities, but when that decision was made 40 or 50 years ago, Highway 24 was not nearly the thoroughfare that it is now.
Absolutely correct.
That's correct.
So sometimes, you know, the best way to predict the future is to invent it.
That's right.
But sometimes other people get in on the game.
Right.
And you can't always control the development. But, you know, the fun part about the process, as I mentioned a minute ago, is you get to ask the question, what do we want to be when we grow up?
Right. Exactly.
And, you know, those involve questions like, what do we want the campus? Some of them are subjective. What do we want the campus to feel like? You know, and we've talked about that. We want it to be pedestrian friendly. We want it to be attractive and inviting. We want it to be a place where students want to hang out more. You know,
right.
As opposed to
packing up and leaving on Thursday night or whatever it happens to be. Yeah.
Obviously, programs, what new programs we want to develop, what kind of technology are they going to require?
Well, I mean, because the plan goes into detail. I mean, it's talking about online growth. It's talking about energy efficiency. I mean, like you said, it's far more than just where the lamppost is going to be, you know, after we move it or whatever it happens to be. It really kind of drills down. And obviously, something important that you need to kind of go by. And plus, like Rex was saying, it's nice to, whenever you have an idea and you can go, oh, yeah, this is part of the plan. Yeah, we definitely need to take this a little further.
Yeah.
And it needs to tie into the strategic planning that we're doing right now.
Exactly.
Because it's all together.
Right.
So, absolutely.
And I know we've talked about our guiding principles, and we'll talk some more in future programs.
Right.
But those are the things that help us chart a course. And, you know, and they're not written in stone. Well, they're kind of written in sandstone. Let's think of them that way.
Well, and just thinking in the past 8 years of the changes we've had, it's just unreal. The new buildings we have, there are different locations, some of them based on certain items or events that were happening at the time. And, you know, it's definitely time for a new one. So when I think about our phenomenal growth we've had just in the last 2 years, it's a new era.
Yeah, it is a new era.
So,
you know, and we're here.
Mm-hmm.
We're, right. we're part of it.
Right.
You know, we're going to be making decisions now that years from now people are going to, what the heck could they have been thinking? But still, it's a... It's an exciting time.
Well, we appreciate you so much for making the time to come and talk with us, Rex and Alicia. Thank you very much.
Thank you for inviting us.
And we've got some more to talk about. We'll be talking about the English Language Institute and their homestay program whenever we return. This is The President's Perspective on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hey, it's Jared Knight, station manager at KETR. Listen, if you haven't already made a financial gift to KETR, you need to do that right now. KETR.org/support is the way to do that. Plus, you can check out all of those incentive gifts online, t-shirts, coffee mugs, tote bags, you name it. We probably have it just for you right now by making an online contribution. That website again, KETR.org/support. And thanks for listening to your station, 88.9 KETR.
Welcome back to The President's Perspective. It's a monthly half-hour chat with the president and CEO of Texas A&M University Commerce, Dr. Jones, and we're continuing a discussion on positive things that are happening around campus. We always have something positive
right.
to talk
well,
about.
Well, and it's almost all good.
That's right. almost every bit of it. And we'd like to welcome a guest as we talk about the English Language Institute and their homestay program.
Right. Jared, our guest for this segment is Magzina Wageman. But we're going to call her Max because that's what
please,
she answers to.
Please do.
And Max is the director of our English Language Institute, and this is a program which we've had running for not quite 2 years now, and is still getting established, but has had some home runs. And Max, before we get started talking about our homestay program, can you tell us, just introduce yourself to us and where you came from, and then acquaint us for our listeners who may not be familiar with the English Language Institute.
Actually, I'm an alumna of Texas A&M University Commerce, but before arriving here as the director, I was at Grayson County College as the ESL program coordinator, and I coordinated their ELI, their credit ESOL, and their adult education ESL courses to streamline the process to help students go from zero English to university or workplace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was the task, and this is similar to that, and
right.
it's a lot of fun.
Right.
Except instead of recruiting locally, as we did in those programs, and internationally for the their international English program, here it's all global.
Right. right. Well, and of course, our English Language Institute is a very important component of our overall globalization strategy.
Correct. And the ELI, as we call it, as we abbreviate it on mm-hmm. campus, because mm-hmm. most people trip English Language Institute.
Right.
It's sort of a tongue twister
right.
for some. But our goal is to teach English to university-bound international students. We have three levels, beginner, intermediate, and advanced. And after orientation, they take a placement test that determines where they fall into the program. And we follow the university calendar, so it's 16 weeks. It's very intensive. It's 22 hours a week of instruction. So from 8:30 in the morning till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, they are in class with a one-hour lunch. And then in the afternoon in our office, we have conversation partners so they can practice their skills in the office until 5.
Yeah.
So it's a full day,
right.
and we like that.
Yeah. Well, that's English is not an easy language to learn. I'm still struggling with it myself, and it takes that intensive approach. Well, tell us a little bit about the homestay program that we're going to start up this spring.
Well, the homestay program is something I think we need for international students. Many of them will live in the dorm or in housing in Rockwall or Dallas or Greenville with other folks from their ethnic group. So not a lot of opportunity to practice English. And in conversations with many of our students, one of the things they wanted is a homestay program to really inculcate themselves into the American university system and into American culture and really learn English much faster.
Right.
And an immersion is really what they need. And that's what I'm hoping the homestay will do. Right now, I'm looking for some families in the Commerce area that would be interested in really impacting a student's life in a positive way by sharing their home. And this is a lot to ask of folks.
Yeah.
I know. We've had a Russian student in our home for, it was only 8 weeks, and it was not a struggle. It was a great experience. My Russian is not what it should have been.
Right.
But their English was amazing, so
yeah.
it was great.
Yeah.
And most of the students that come to us have a fairly good level of English, even our beginners. They may struggle a little, but it will not be a student coming into your home with zero English and you don't understand, you can't communicate. It won't be anything like that. Right. As a matter of fact, we want them to feel as a member of the family. And so if you're a member of a local community group, a church group, you attend activities in our area, you're probably the type of person we're looking for. And if you like different cultures, this is it.
Right. We talk, and we've talked in other programs about the cultural immersion that students get whenever they participate in the global programs that we offer and foreign studies and so forth. But this is sort of the reverse of that, and that we've also talked to positives about, that students have the opportunity to be immersed in the culture here. And I think this is a really, really neat way for somebody to do something that isn't, it's almost akin to like a, you know, hosting a foreign exchange student, except it's a student here already who is just, we're giving them an opportunity to live somewhere and to sort of live with a family and be forced to communicate in the native language. Right?
Exactly.
Right. No, and that's I think that's how you learn a language. I mean, I think I would know Spanish if I spent, you know, more time in Cancun. But
I'm sure.
You already looking for that professional development grant?
That's right, yeah. As soon as we can get somebody to fund that, that'd be great.
Well, I know we've hosted exchange students before, and we were part of a program with Germany. And it was just a marvelous experience. And, you know, there's a little fear factor, before the first one gets there. But after that, I mean, it really is all good. These are bright, engaging young people.
Yes, they are. And we have an orientation for them. So it's not as if, okay, I've signed up, I've done everything, now they're going to send me the student. No, we have an orientation for families so they can come in, they can meet the other families involved. Also, as soon as you sign up, it's not immediate that you will get a student to stay with you, because we want to match you and that student up. And the fun part about that is once we do match you, then the correspondence begins. So the student will send you a letter, and we hope that you reply. This way, we get a relationship going before they ever hit the campus.
Right.
And, you know, families who have children at home, the meaning of the experience is multiplied by having your own child at home who gets to interact. I know, Jared, we were talking about how when you were a youngster, you had an exchange student.
There was
in your home.
Foreign exchange student, and we get to learn so much about her culture. It was more a learning experience for us. I mean, I assume that she learned something. That would have been the point. Yeah. But certainly we did. I mean, my takeaway was literally within the first week, she had taken over our kitchen and was making some native dishes. And I mean, we, and then we showed her the experiences that she could have. My family, when I was young, was big into travel. And so she showed us some things. She brought us some gifts from Uzbekistan, and she showed us some dishes, and we took her to Vegas so she would have that experience. So there was sort of that back and forth, and we all got to learn. But I learned a little. I'm not good now, but I learned a little bit of Russian whenever she was whenever she was around, because you have to know just enough to know what are you saying.
Yeah, right. And she ended up settling in Texas.
That's right. She's here in school. She came to school after she was in high school with me at Wolf City, and she came to school here at A&M Commerce, and now she lives here in Northeast Texas, which is kind of a big deal with a family, so that's very good. Yeah. And her brother had been also a foreign exchange student elsewhere in Texas with a military family, and ended up also, he lives here in the United States as well. And so she, like, her family sort of is slowly migrating this way to be in the United States. But very
well, you know, and that was the beginning of a lifetime friendship and relationship.
Right.
Well, Max, I hope some of our listeners are interested in signing on. How would they get in touch to learn more about the program?
Well, they can call the ELI. Our number is 903-886-5273, or they can email me. Now, my name's rather long. They can probably look up the ELI. But phone is really the best way to reach us. I will be contacting some local groups and speaking to hopefully a few church groups in the near future so we can get some folks in the community involved.
And we've put out a call to the Rotary.
Yes.
Already. No, I think it's a wonderful experience.
I hope so. I think it'll be interesting for everyone in Commerce, especially when you start opening up your home.
Commerce, Texas, crossroads of the world.
That's right. That's right. I started to say, I can think of a few of us, like you mentioned earlier, that probably could stand to live with a family that knows English well enough to be able to teach.
Right.
I think that would be great. Well, thank you so much for making the time for us, Max.
Thank you for inviting me.
All right. This has been the September edition of The President's Perspective. It's a monthly half-hour chat with the President and CEO of A&M Commerce, Dr. Dan Jones. And Dr. Jones, we thank you so much for making the time.
Thank you, Jared.
Very special thanks to our guests, Alicia Curran, Rex Giddens, and, of course, Max Wageman. And we'll see you next month whenever we have a new edition of The President's Perspective. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.